Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
I'm standing out in the front yard, just enjoying the spring, the sounds, the fog, and wanted to describe something that happened to me recently simply because it seems like it should have meaning, but I'm not sure exactly what the meaning is. Recently, I found myself hanging upside down on the slope that separates my house from the road below and looking at my neighbor's trailer and their dog, who is chained to a plastic igloo beside it. The trailer wasn't always there. When we bought the house in 1989, the realtor assured us, and we thought rightfully so, that no one in their right mind would live on such low land so close to a river. But that turned out not to be true. Since that time, people have lived in school buses and trailers that they have more often than not left in worse shape than they found them. Because of this, one of my springtime activities is to monitor the trees on both sides of the road, willing the leaves to come out as quickly as possible to block the view. My second springtime activity is to monitor what's going on with the bittersweet. Although I used to love bittersweet, and I still do love the gorgeous deep red and bright orange of the seeds, I do not like the fact that it's a parasite, and it's a vicious parasite that can kill even the strongest trees. Unfortunately, it's growing on the slope of my hill and threatening some of my trees, and also threatening some of the trees on the other side of the road. I can't do anything about what happens on my neighbor's land, but as I was standing in my yard looking across at the trailer and down the slope, I realized that I might not have succeeded in cutting all of the bittersweet stalks, vicious tendrils or whatever they're called, that were winding their way up a large tree that was growing about a third of the way down the expanse. And when I say that this bittersweet was big, I mean it was big. This was not your standard vine. Some of these vines were a good 3 or more inches in diameter. Last summer, I had gone down there with a bow saw, and I thought I cut them. But as I was standing there looking down recently, before the undergrowth had grown, I realized that I may have missed some. So I got my little bow saw out and started to inch my way down the hill. The soil had the consistency of a kind of like semi-moist cake. I made it down to the tree and I braced myself against it with one hand and sawed through one of these small, what I really think are more like a bittersweet tree. And then I don't know what happened. I started to fall forward, so I threw the saw away from me and basically went ass over tea kettle down the slope until I was stopped by a tangle of wild rose bushes. Fortunately, I had on jeans and a sweatshirt and heavy socks, so the majority of the thorns stuck in my clothing rather than me and stopped me from falling any further. So there I was, upside down, stuck in the rose bushes, looking around. When I looked straight ahead, what I saw was the trailer and the dog beside it. Being raised in a good Lutheran tradition, my first thought was, thank God the trailer people aren't there to see me like this. Whereas probably a normal person would think, oh my God, they're not home. I'm going to die up here stuck in the rose bushes. But no, better death than embarrassment. The second thing I realized was how quiet the dog was. I'd been thinking about this because ever since my friend Dave had been here, well, more than a week previously, the trailer folk hadn't been around. At first I thought they were just gone for the weekend, but they didn't come back. And when they weren't there, the dog hardly barked at all. Every day someone comes to see the dog and feed the dog. I don't know where they went, obviously not that, well, I don't think that far. I don't know what happened. But the dog is much quieter without them. And it's not just because they have kids and the kids come outside and play and get the dog wound up. It's just in general, without the people there. And I guess some people might say, well, without the people there, he doesn't have anything to alert to, anything to look forward to. But the fact that they kept their lights on, sometimes all night long, makes me wonder if they were afraid. And now that they're gone, the dog doesn't have to protect them anymore. And the things that frighten the dog aren't as numerous as the things that frightened his owners. That kind of thought passed through my mind as I pulled the thorns out of my clothes and inched around until I was facing in the right direction, and then found my saw and slowly crawled back up into the yard. I don't know if those thoughts are particularly significant, but it just seems to me that any kind of thoughts you have while you're hanging upside down in a rose bush ought to be worth something.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.